Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio. And I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And today we are going to talk about the Book of Enoch and where did this book come from and why has it become popular in some circles. We will be discussing that, and we will also be talking a little bit about the Nephilim. Who are the Nephilim? And there's been so many books written about it and so much said about it. And we will try to find out what the Bible says about it, because after all, we base all our beliefs, our doctrines on the Word of God, because anything else that's extra, well, we can't really base our beliefs on that. We have to always go back to Scripture. So I'm going to try to break it down for you today. There's so much information really to be studied about this topic. And there is a very good teaching series if you want to go there on YouTube. And if you go to YouTube and you type in the search Dr. Kathy Burns Nephilim, there's a 10-part series on there that was done a few years back with Kelly McGinley, and it's excellent. They really do a good job breaking it down, so I would recommend that you go there after this program and listen to that teaching series, because I think it'll help you understand. There's been so much false information, and it kind of reminds me of like the next new thing. So there's people that are always looking for some new thrill in Christianity. Instead of just, let's keep it simple and let's take the Word of God for what the Word of God says and not try to put hidden meanings and different things into the Word of God to change it so somebody can sell books. And they don't really care if they deceive you or not, as long as their bank account is getting fat. But I wanted to talk about a few things that were in the news. There was two things that I thought were very interesting this week. Once in a while, I go over to the Charisma Magazine website and read the news there. And they have a story, and actually it was a two-part story. And the topic was, why are the televangelists abusing the Day of Atonement? And it's by a man named Ron Cantor. I don't really know anything about him, except that I see his name here as the author of this article. And he has a website, Messiah's Mandate. Anyway, he points out, and of course it's been pointed out many times by many other people on the internet for years, pointing out this diabolical method of pimping the gospel, fundraising with this new Day of Atonement blessing. After, you know, Jesus paid the price. He was our atonement. He was the sacrifice. So we don't have to sacrifice money to God for atonement blessings. It's ridiculous. But anyway, he wrote a story, and he was upset that these wealthy preachers make false promises of blessing and prosperity during what appears to be nothing more than a religious infomercial. Oh, well, we certainly see enough of those on what they call Christian television. And have you noticed that many of these preachers, Paula White, Mike Murdoch, Steve Muncy, Rod Parsley, Morris Cirillo, Daystar Network, TBN, all of them are doing it. Summerall's network. Every single network that calls themselves Christian, because you can't be a Christian and then act like a con artist. I don't think so. Kind of, you know, doesn't mix. So anyway. I'm glad that they put this article up. Of course, Charisma Magazine supports most of these false prophets and false teachers by giving them magazine space and face time. So why don't they, if they really mean what they say when they allow some of these articles to go forward, then why don't they just close the whole operation down and start all over again? And promote ministries and people that don't have to use pickpocket methods and con artists. Why don't they just do away with those people that they're promoting and stop promoting them totally and promote real Christianity instead of fake Christians? That would be a good thing for Charisma Magazine to do, but... anyway, he didn't want to name names here because he said he's never spoken to them personally. So he said that a friend of his, Dr. Michael Brown, who has a radio program, The Line of Fire, they did a radio program, and they are giving these people a chance to respond, to come forward and give an explanation of their doctrine. And so they're going to wait to see if they get a response from some of these people, and then they want them to state publicly where they're getting this from. And so then he says that if they don't come forward, then they are going to expose them publicly. So anyway, I'm glad that they'll do that. We've been exposing them publicly. There's many other great ministries out there that expose them, and we're not afraid to name names. I'm not afraid to name names. We are not exposing these people. They expose themselves when they appear on national television with their foolishness. So they've already exposed themselves. We just repeat what they're saying. They've already said it. We don't make it up. So, they do a pretty good job of exposing themselves. Anyway, I'm glad that they are going to take these people on. It'll be interesting to see what happens because I've only had one person, and he never contacted me personally. We did a program about an author of a book, and he didn't like what we said, so he had... a woman contact me. I don't know who she was, and she contacted me and said he wanted to come on the program to set the record straight. Well, I wish he would have contacted me personally. I don't know why he has to use some other woman to contact me to see if he could come on the program. But anyway, at least he made an offer, which is more than I've never heard from Mike Murdoch or Paula White or Rod Parsley or Benny Hinn or the Cirillos or Marcus and Joni Lamb or the Crouches. I've never heard from any of them except that Paula White and Mike Murdoch shut down one of my YouTube channels one time because I used a picture of Paula and I used a picture of Mike Murdoch, and they're public figures and their pictures are all over the internet. Anybody could get their picture. I didn't know that their photographs were copyrighted. Even if they are copyrighted, if you're making a documentary, you can use a certain amount of material without getting anyone's permission. So, but that's how these people operate. They don't have enough courage, or their doctrines and their teachings will not stand scrutiny. So they won't approach you personally. They do underhanded things, like they try to sue people that say things about them. And like I said before, we're not making anything up. It's not gossip. They say these things all the time publicly, and we merely repeat what they say. So I don't know how anybody could sue anyone for slander when you're not slandering. They would have to sue themselves. Maybe they should start there. But anyway, we'll keep you posted about what happens there. I think that should be interesting. I would be very curious to see if any one of them could come forward and explain their money-making, multi-million-dollar money-making selling of indulgences, Day of Atonement blessing, which there is no such thing. How many of you ever lay down, go up to your mother and father and lay down a $10 bill at their feet, and when you were growing up, and to ask them to bless you? It's ridiculous. How would anybody think that God Almighty himself and the Lord Jesus Christ, we go over we approach God with a $10 bill in our hand? Ridiculous. It's like, when are we going to have enough of this? How much longer do we have to put up with this foolishness? I don't know. I can't believe it's still going on and that people are actually still buying into it, because if you notice, they keep building bigger studios and buying more satellite networks and going to different countries and setting up TV studios. So they're getting very, very rich off of conning people. So it's been very lucrative, but it's like, when are we going to say enough already? So, enough. But there was also another story in the news, and I actually had thought about this when Hurricane Katrina happened in New Orleans. And of course we know that there was serious flooding at that time, and there was many, many dead bodies that were floating around in the water. And I thought to myself, yikes, I don't think I ever want to go to New Orleans and eat there or drink, because you don't know what you're going to be eating or drinking. Well, apparently, they didn't take care of flushing out the water systems properly, and now they have found traces of a brain-eating amoeba in the drinking water. So people are afraid. They've already had one four-year-old boy die of this. And I'm sure many, many people have symptoms that they don't know what it is. But it gets into your nose, so people are afraid to take a shower or go swimming. Now, imagine that. How awful it would be that you would be afraid to take a shower in your own house. So I don't know what they're going to do about it. But the Bible says that in the end times we're going to see plagues and these kind of things happening. So it is awful. It really, really is awful. So many years later, so you can imagine really how long it's been going on. And now they're just discovering this after effect. But so I just wanted to mention a few of those stories before we get into our subject here. But now this teaching, especially this whole Nephilim Book of Enoch thing that many people are promoting today, and then they are selling hundreds of thousands of books on these topics, and you even see them on what they call Christian television, which I question when they put the word Christian in front of it, when they're teaching this kind of foolishness. And I call it foolishness because, you know, if you like fairy tales, then, okay, knock yourself out with this whole angels coming down and having children with women, and then we have these hybrid creatures running around, and we don't know who they are. And well, it sounds like science fiction, and, it's a fairy tale. So if you want to believe it, it's not in the Bible. It's not there. You're not going to find it in Scripture. So if it's not in the Bible, then you might as well forget about it. Don't even mess with it. Just leave it alone. It's not there. And you won't have to worry about it anymore. But this teaching, especially this teaching on the Nephilim, it has its roots in the serpent seed teaching. And this teaching, they say that Eve, she didn't really eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that she actually had a relationship with the devil. And then Cain was the offspring of this relationship. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. If Eve had committed fornication with the devil, the Bible would have said that, but the Bible does not say that. The Bible says that she ate of the tree, and then Adam ate of the tree. So we don't have to look for hidden meanings in scriptures, and then take a scripture and totally take it out of context, and then put all these hidden meanings in there, because that's the occult. That's what the word occult means, when it's hidden. And you're going and you're trying to make the Bible say what it doesn't say, and it doesn't say that. So when you read the Word of God, just read what it says. And I like King James. I always like to use the King James as my reference point. Now, I'm not, if you want to read some other Bible translation, you know, go right ahead. I don't get into arguments with people about Bible translations. But you will not find the word Nephilim, for instance, in the King James Bible, because it's not there. You will find it in other translations, which then I think helps to mislead people and helps to form some of these doctrines. But go back and lay out, if you're going to use another translation, lay out the King James too and use it as a reference point, because some words are not in some of these translations. And some of these words are important. Like I'm saying, the word Nephilim is not in the King James Bible. And before I came on the air today, and I was listening to the series that was done by Kathy Burns, and they were talking about the word Nephilim, and it comes from the word Nephil, which is a Hebrew word for giant. And the word giant, they were saying, is the word for a bully or a tyrant, or it has nothing to do with a fallen angel. Now, wait a minute. Just normal person to person talking. Can an angel make a baby? No. First of all, angels are not human beings. They don't have blood. So, they cannot make a baby. Now, any normal thinking person could rationalize that in their mind. Satan cannot create human body parts. I never knew of the devil creating a human. I don't ever read that in scripture. What I read in my Bible, it says that God created Adam and Eve. He made them. He is the only person that has the means and the creative ability to make a human. A fallen angel does not have the ability to make a baby. And the Bible also says there's no marriage in heaven. So these fallen angels did not come down to earth and say, wow, that girl's cute, and I think I will take them as a wife. And they said something interesting, too, on this video series, that it says they took these women as wives. So in order to have a wife, you have to have a marriage. So these angels would have had to have had a marriage ceremony with these women. And this is utterly ridiculous. I don't know. I don't know why anyone wants to waste their time even going into these teachings from people like Chuck Missler, Tom Horn. There's another man, I think, named Mazzulli. And there's a few other people out there. That they would actually spend their time, waste their time, making up fairy tales to introduce to people. It's a deception. It's only to deceive you and to take your mind off the real word of God and to get you sidetracked into something that, you know, it's not going to help you in the long run. What is this teaching going to do to keep you strong in the faith? It's not going to do anything to keep you strong in the faith except waste your time. I also noticed something very interesting. Now, a lot of the Bible translations, some of them actually came from Catholic manuscripts. The Vaticanus is one of the manuscripts. Now, I would not trust any Bible translation that was taken from a Catholic document, because they have, if anybody knows anything about history, you know that the Catholic Church murdered people that were translating the Bible into English and because they wanted to keep it hidden. They didn't want people reading the Bible. And even when I grew up Catholic, I'm not Catholic anymore, but I grew up Catholic, and when I went to Catholic school, which I went to a Catholic school for 7 years, they told us not to read the Bible. We never read the Bible, ever, ever. Every morning we had a catechism class where we read the Catholic catechism, but we never read the Bible, because we were taught that we could not understand the Bible, and we had to ask the priest what the Bible says. So this was back in the 1950s. So it was not that long ago. And but for many years, they didn't want people reading the Bible. They kept it hidden. People that translated the Bible, Tyndale and Wycliffe, and they had to fear for their lives. They were wanted men because the Catholic Church wanted to kill them. They called them heretics because they wanted to translate the Bible so people could read it and print it so that everybody could have a copy. So then why would you trust an organization that actually murdered people for translating the Bible, and then you're going to accept their document or their Bible translation? I don't think so. So anyway, the Vaticanus text, which came from the Vatican, contains the word angels in Genesis 6. Ah, well, they put it in there, didn't they? When the Bible talks about sons of God, sons of God are not angels. Sons of God are men. So when you read that scripture, you don't have to say, well, that says sons of God, but it must mean angels. No, if God wanted to say angels, he would have put it in there. He would have said angels, not sons of God. So, but anyway, that's a little bit of the history behind this, that supposedly it came from the serpent seed doctrine and something to do with the Dead Sea Scrolls, which I do not trust the Dead Sea Scrolls myself personally. And that'll be another program, and we will do a program about it. But I do not trust the Dead Sea Scrolls. And so that's a little bit of the history behind the Nephilim doctrine. And so always when you're reading scripture, just read what it says. And don't try to make a doctrine out of a word or a sentence. And that's what's happened. And I think it's a big distraction. I think that it's of the devil. Because even, and we'll talk about this next, is this Book of Enoch. And where did this come from all of a sudden? Now we have this new thing, is the next new thing that's coming down the road to distract you and to confuse you. Who is the author of confusion? I don't think it's God, right? But anyway, let's look at a little bit of the history. Now, where did the Book of Enoch come from? The Book of Enoch was discovered by a man named James Bruce, who was a Scottish explorer. He brought the book back from Ethiopia. And so he supposedly found this document, but we don't see anything in scripture that says that Enoch wrote a book. So I think that if Enoch wrote a book and it was supposed to be a book that we were supposed to study, and then it would be in the Bible, but there's no Book of Enoch in the Bible. There's no record in the scripture that Enoch ever wrote a book. So anyway, I don't exactly know maybe who James Bruce was. I didn't get into his background as far as doing the research to find out what religion he was from, but I find it very suspect that this, I think it was in the 1800s that he went to Ethiopia and he found this book there. And then he brought it back and it started to gain popularity, but it was used mainly by people that were in the occult, people that taught teachings of the Essenes. You'll see it, a lady called Barbara Marks Hubbard, who is an occultist. And you see people like this talking about it. It wasn't talked about so much until recently by people calling themselves Christians talking about it and promoting it. It was mainly promoted by people that were in the occult. They also talk about, in this Book of Enoch, that there was an angel named Raphael. Well, there's no angel named Raphael in the Bible. I didn't see anything in the Bible about any such angel. So, if there's no angel Raphael in the Bible, then there is no such angel. Fallen angels did not decide to come to earth. They were cast out of heaven. There's also no angel Uriel in the Bible. There's no such angel. So, the Book of Enoch talks about these angels. It's not there. So you don't have to waste your time looking for studying about these angels and reading this book, because it's not scriptural. It's not there. You're not going to find it. So anyway, that's a little history about where this book came from. Now, let's look at a few scriptures here, and we'll see what the Word of God says. Now, the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 13:12, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I even know also. But then shall I know even as also I am known." We see through a glass darkly. We don't see everything. We don't know everything. We're not God. So we're not going to know all the answers to everything that we want to know about until we get into heaven. You don't have God's mind. You can't figure God out in your head. It's going to take us forever to learn about God. So what they want to do is they want to distract you and get you off on these tangents. And like I said before, it's just a waste of time. But they also said something in that Book of Enoch about God opened up his eyes. And, well, your eyes aren't opened until you're born again. The eyes of your understanding are opened when you're born again. So God didn't give Enoch any special revelation that he didn't give to anybody else. Ephesians 1:17 says that, "The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." So the eyes of your understanding are opened when you're born again. Enoch was not born again. So God didn't give him any special revelation. It doesn't say that anywhere in the scripture. Jeremiah 14:14. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination and a thing of naught and the deceit of their heart. And that's what this teaching is. It's divination. And these people, all they want to do is sell books. So they don't care about your soul. They just want to sell books, and they want you to see them. They want to be famous. They like fame. They like the praises of men more than they like the truth of the Word of God. Ezekiel 13:7 says, have you not seen a vain vision, and have you not spoken a lying divination, whereas you say, the Lord saith it, albeit I have not spoken. Ezekiel 12:24, for there shall be no more any vain vision nor flattering divination within the house of Israel. Ezekiel 13:6, they have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them, and they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Numbers 22:7, and the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. Now you notice that Numbers 22:7 says that they departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. And that is exactly what these false teachers are doing. They're departing with the rewards of divination through book sales and conventions and whatever, making money. The rewards of divination. Well, is it worth it? No. Because all of us are going to have, we're responsible for what we put out there. When we call ourselves a Christian and we're putting something out over the air or on the internet, and people are seeing it and listening to it, well, we're responsible for what we're saying. So I don't want to have to answer to God for putting out false information just so that I could make some money. Ridiculous. Acts 16:16, and it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. So that's what they're doing. They're bringing themselves much gain, their master, whoever they're serving, by putting out this foolishness. I'm going to read you the scriptures about Enoch, and so you'll see for yourself. There's no book of Enoch. Genesis 4:17. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And as we said before, there was no serpent seed. Cain was not the offspring of the devil and Eve. No, no, the Bible doesn't say that. She bare Enoch, and he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. Genesis 4:18, and unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mehujael, and Mehujael begat Methusiel, and Methusiel begat Lamech. Genesis 5:18, and Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. Genesis 5:19, and Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. Genesis 5:21, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Genesis 5:22, and Enoch walked with God, and he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. Genesis 5:23. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Genesis 5:24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Luke 3:37, which was the son of Methuselah, which was the son of Enoch, which was the son of Jared, which was the son of Mahalalel, which was the son of Canaan. Hebrews 11:5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So I don't see anything in there about Enoch having any divine revelation from God, and God opened up his eyes, and then he had these angels, the watchers, and these angels came, and then he wrote this book. So do you see that? I don't see it, so it's not there. It's not there. So if it's not there, then it didn't happen. It's a fairy tale. And let's look at Acts 8:9. But there was a certain man called Simon, and you can put any of the false teachers' names in there, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of the United States of America and other countries, I'm putting that in, giving out that he himself was some great one. Acts 8:11, and to him they had regard because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorcery. So, oh, everybody's flocking to these conferences and buying these people's books because they're treating them like they are men of regard, but they are bewitching you with sorceries. Galatians 3:1. Oh, foolish Galatians, oh, foolish Christians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Let's look at a few scriptures about the lake of fire. Revelation 19:20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. Revelation 2:10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. Well, that's where the false prophet winds up, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So, yes, there is a hell. It says right there, forever and ever. That doesn't mean that everybody gets saved in the end. Revelation 20:14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Revelation 20:15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So your name has to be written in the book of life. You have to be born again, and your name is written in the book of life. And if your name is not in the book of life, you do not go to heaven just because you're a good person. You're not good enough. None of us are good enough to go. It's only because of Jesus Christ that we're righteous and we can have right standing with God. And our sin, we have to repent, and our sins have to be forgiven. And we have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died and he rose again. And he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And he's coming again. Hallelujah. Coming again. Ephesians 4:14 says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So that's a great scripture. Don't be tossed to and fro. Oh, the book of Enoch. Oh, the Nephilim. Oh, the angels having children with women. No, It's by the sleight of men with cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And you can also go back and look for scriptures on Gabriel and Michael, and you don't see anything there about Gabriel and Michael that had anything to do with any book of Enoch, so or any Nephilim or any giants. And, you know, maybe we know Goliath was a giant. He was a big person. Well, there's big people today. Look at Shaquille O'Neal. He's 7'1". He's huge, okay? There's people that are taller than that are born today. So, yes, we have giants in the land today. So what are we going to do? Look at these people and think, oh, wow, it must be a Nephilim. Oh, please. Oh. I'm sorry, I have to laugh because it's too ridiculous. It's too ridiculous. I can't understand why people want to waste their time and their energy and fooling around with these strange doctrines, this strange fire, and that's what it is. It's strange fire. Coming from the father of lies, and we know that Satan is the father of lies. He's a liar and a deceiver. So the Bible says that the word of God is simple. It's simple to understand, and we're responsible, each and every one of us, because there isn't any excuse in this country. We all have Bibles. We probably have more than one in our house. We have the internet. We can read the Bible online. So we don't have any reason why we should be deceived, because you are responsible for taking whatever you hear from anybody, including me, and opening up your Bible and saying, is this true? Because the Bible says you're supposed to be a good Berean. You're supposed to check it out with God's word and make sure that it lines up. And as long as you're doing that, you will never be deceived. You won't be deceived. And even if you've fallen into some kind of deception from a false teacher, you'll get yourself out of it by opening up God's word and finding out for yourself. You're responsible. Don't wait for some teacher to come along to teach you about what God's word said. Yeah, Bible teaching's fine, and I've been very blessed by Bible teachers. But ultimately, I have to answer to God for Susan, just like you have to answer to God for yourself. So you need to check it out and see if what people are saying is the truth. And then you won't be deceived. You won't have to waste your time and your energy believing things that aren't true. So I'm amazed by it. I've been saved since 1981, born again. And I've never seen such deception like I'm seeing today. I've never seen such deception. It's alarming. And we're kind of seeing a great divide, because we have, I guess, what some people would call the remnant church, the church that doesn't bow the knee. We don't sell out. We stand for truth no matter what. And then they have the other segment of what they call Christians, but they're false teachers. They're false prophets. many of the people that you see on television are not saved, because anybody that's saved, if you're really born again, you have a heart for God, and the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. So, for instance, if we're getting up on TV and we're holding up a book, and we know that what's in that book is not true, but yet we sell it anyway, well, you can't be saved, because the Holy Spirit would convict you of sin eventually, unless you've become a reprobate and you don't listen to the Spirit of God, or you've never really been born again, and so the veil hasn't been lifted. You can't understand, or you don't know the truth yourself. So you see people like Peter Popoff and W.V. Grant and who's that other one? There's a couple of them. But anyway, you see these people, Benny Hinn, Mike Murdoch, Paula White. You see them hawking their wares, and then they want to talk about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus, because if you really know Jesus, you get convicted of sin. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And so eventually you have to repent. So if I saw that these people were truly repenting of their sorcery, then I would say, okay, I can accept you as a brother and a sister. But if they're not repenting of their sorcery and they're continuing to lie to people and deceive people, well, no, they are not a brother and sister in the Lord. And I don't want to hear the foolishness either about don't judge. You better judge. You better judge right and wrong. You better, because otherwise you'll wind up like them. We have to be able to judge good and evil, and there are absolutes. Now, they want to tell you there's no absolutes. There is no right and wrong. Well, there is a right and a wrong. There is absolute truth. They were saying that I haven't read the full statement of this. They call him Pope, but his name is, it's not really Francis, whatever his name is, his real name. The man that poses as Pope Francis, trying to say that there's no absolutes. Well, where did this guy come from? And it's all falling into this whole one world church. So, truly the days are evil, and we need to be careful and to be good watchmen on the wall, to check everything out with Scripture, and to try to do our best to stay strong in the Lord. But no matter what happens, that we're going to uphold the banner of our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and uphold the Scriptures, the truth of the Scriptures, not fairy tales and fables. I'm going to read here 1 Corinthians 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Notice that. He that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So you see, only people that are born again have the eyes of their understanding open that they can discern spiritual things. So if some of you have been involved in this deception, I ask you today to repent and ask the Lord to open up the eyes of your understanding and to show you the error that you have been involved in. And yet, the most important thing that we want to do today is that if there are some of you out there today and you're not born again, you have never made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. Today is the day of salvation. Today you can receive forgiveness of your sins and a new life in Jesus Christ and be born again. Take out your Bible and read the third chapter of John. Jesus said it himself, you must be born again. First you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. And get down on your knees and you can ask God to forgive you of your sins. He will forgive you of every sin and forget about it, and give you a brand new life in Jesus Christ. God does love you. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life, and that's a promise. So God bless you today, and I want to thank everybody for listening. And tune in next week, okay? God bless.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.
four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.